Okay. So in volume 19, 8, 18, 19, 26. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. While I was praying, I found myself outside of myself, and at the same time, I saw the Reverend Father, who must occupy himself with the printings of the writings of the most holy will of God. So here, Luisa sees an apparition of St. Honorable de Francia, and he was the one that was in charge. This is why all the writings are dedicated under the guidance, under the protection of St. Honorable de Francia. He's the one who Jesus said, you are to publish these. You are to print these. Okay. So she sees him who must occupy himself with the printing of the writings of the most holy divine will. And our Lord was near him, taking all the knowledges, all the effects, and all the values that he manifested about the supreme will. And then he changed them into threads of light and impressed them into St. Honorable's intelligence in such a way as to form a crown of light around his head. So here what we see is this mystical experience that Luisa had, this mystical experience with seeing St. Honorable de Francia. He was the director. He was her guide. And when you read the writings, the letters going back and forth to St. Honorable de Francia, you're really astonished. As a matter of fact, one of the things that will help you is the 17 years. The 17 years is the writings of Luisa and St. Honorable de Francia. And he, in the back of the book, there's an apparition. I don't know if you can see that, but it's a picture of St. Honorable de Francia floating in the sky and in light, appeared in light. And we gave that understanding to the postulator of the cause. And he had this painting of Luisa that Luisa had in his church. And when you go into this church, you'll see this large picture of St. Honorable de Francia radiating in light. And this is what he painted. This is what they had painted. I saw the blessed soul of the Father before me near my bed, invested with this divine light suspended between heaven and earth, fixing his gaze on me, but without telling me a word. I too felt mute before him. And Jesus added, look at him, how transformed St. Honorable de Francia is. And my will is light, and it has transformed that soul into light. It is beautiful and has given him all the shades of perfect beauty. It is holy. He has been sanctified. My divine will possesses all the sciences, and his soul has been now invested by divine science. When we gave that to the postulator, he was really thrilled. They had letters. As a matter of fact, this is something that has been published yet. These are the letters of St. Honorable that he received from Luisa. We don't have those yet. And when these writings are released, I can't wait to see what Luisa says. If you're having trouble in the divine will, go to the letters of Luisa. Go to Luisa and ask her, what do I do? What am I doing wrong? How do I understand this? And she will speak to you very clearly in her letters. Her letters are very powerful. And hopefully someday soon, it would be great if we had it soon, we would have Luisa's letters to St. Honorable de Francia. We have this book here basically has the writings of St. Honorable de Francia to Luisa and a few of Luisa's letters back to him. But what you're going to experience is this is so amazing. This gift is so amazing that St. Honorable de Francia, on his basically on his deathbed, he said to the people around him, he says, I really don't care for anything but the divine will. He says, basically, the only thing I want you to care about is to print these books, to get them out to all the world. And it was such a change in him, this change that he was always, you know, with his community and told his community, this is what God wants for us to do. And at the end of his life, he was saying very clearly, this is what I want you to do. And again, how amazing this is. So she says, Jesus was near him, taking all the knowledges. These are at that point, what was it? 20 volumes, 20 volumes, basically. And the effects of the values that he has manifested about the supreme will to Louisa. And these changed into threads of light, impressing these threads of light in his intelligence in such a way as to form a crown of light around his head. Now, this is important for the priest to know, is that with ordination, with the ontological change, the priest has this important mission that Jesus tells the priests to begin to lead people, guide people, to get ready for the kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what's happening with the priests. The priests who are reading, everything changes for them. Everything becomes focused. Sacred scripture and the dogma and doctrine, the breviary becomes, so we begin to see what the saints have talked to us about throughout the history of the world, how to get ready for what God is going to do. Yet it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a great surprise to most people. Well, to everybody, what God is doing, he hasn't even told the angels about. What God has got planned for his children, he's keeping hidden, like a good father who is getting something, a gift for their child. And they don't say, 3 weeks before the birthday, here's your present. No, he waits for that day to give this gift to his child. And that's what's coming. We're going to be so astonished that Jesus tells Louisa that the world is going to shake. Now, a lot of people look at that with fear. Oh, it's going to be a terrible earthquake. The world is going to shake. The ground is going to become liquid and everything's going to sink into the earth, Jesus shows Louisa what's coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so magnificent that we are going to be jumping up and down going, yes, this is why you created us. This is why you have redeemed us. And this is why now you want to sanctify us. And this joy that's coming, as he says, I give you my joy so that my joy may be complete, but it's going to bubble within us. And that's what you say. Louisa, she found herself outside of herself, looking at St. Honorable de Francia, who must occupy himself with the printing of the writings. And that's the same thing for the priests. As when we have these writings, we give them out to not to everybody. It's not for everybody. Jesus says there's only going to be a few at first that's going to embrace this. It'll be the priests and those few that are around the priests, like, the apostles, disciples around Jesus. It'll be your community that you will lead, guide, and direct. And this is what's happening. These manifestations, these knowledges, these truths, these promises of Jesus changed into threads of light, impressing them in his intelligence in such a way as to form a crown of light around his head. And while doing this, he said to St. Honorable de Francia, my son, the task I have given you is great. This is what Jesus says to every priest. The task of priesthood is great. It is a very important task. And now at these end times, as Pope St. John Paul II said, he says, I call them the end times because 2,000 years ago, he says, St. Paul said, we are in the end times. And then he chuckled and he says, so now we are at the end of times. He realizes that This is an important time to be alive. This third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. My son, this is what Jesus says to each priest. The task I have given you is great. Therefore, it is necessary that I, Jesus, give you much light in order to make you comprehend with clarity what I have revealed basically to Louisa. So this is the thing that is so glorious, to understand with clarity what Jesus has revealed. This is the role of the priest. He is to be he's the father of the parish. He's the one who leads in prayer. He's the one in charge of the bread, the Holy Eucharist. This is the role of the priest, to lead his flock. The wisdom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Mother Church. And when good men say to me, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? And I basically say, if your wife is praying, listen to her. She's the voice. She's the one who presents to you basically what God wants you to hear. And if there is a communion between husband and wife, he would listen and he would say, okay, let's do this. That's the thing that's so beautiful. I remember saying this to one man in particular, and he says, my wife told you to say that to me, didn't she? And I said, no, it's the truth. The priest listens to Holy Mother Church. He listens to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking through the teachings of the church. And a man is practical. Men and women think completely different. And spiritual things are far, if there's no prayer. If the man isn't praying, spiritual things are far. If the woman isn't praying, spiritual things are far. But if there is a communion between husband and wife, between the family and God, keeping holy the Sabbath, making sure you live a Catholic life, this universal life. When the woman speaks, more than, 9 times out of 10, it's the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing. And it's up to the man to say, confirm it, or to say, well, this is a good idea, but we might not be able to do it right now, but we'll keep this in mind. It's how God planned everything. And this is why it's, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're going through the writings, he's going to give to the priesthood a clarity of what Jesus has revealed, an understanding, which is going to be very simple. It's going to be very natural. The Lord always talks naturally. He says, you plant a seed in the ground, you water it, you manure it, you help it grow, you give it sunlight, and it will grow. It will produce fruit. It will naturally come to life. If you're not following the nature, you're not going to get good results. So Jesus is saying, in fact, they shall produce their effects according to the clarity with which they shall be exposed. Okay. So the Lord is exposing the divine will to the priests, to the religious, even though they are most clear in themselves. There's going to be a greater produce, if you want, as these effects, that to the clarity with which they are exposed. So when you go through the writings, I mean, this is why I really recommend and love the calendar. Today is a big day. It's, I started early and I'm still not done reading today's readings. They're amazing. They're just so beautiful that Jesus is going to give a clarity that will bring to the priest who has studied theology the understandings of our dogma and doctrine, how this works hand in hand with the Book of Heaven, how sacred scripture works hand in hand with the Book of Heaven. There's nothing against the church's teachings. There's nothing against the sacred scriptures. But it's a guide that God is going to use to help in these most difficult times. These most difficult times are going to be difficult for most people to go through. We're going to see things that are going to be painful, difficult, and yet we give our fiat because we know God is in charge. God is going to take care of every situation, everything. So indeed, that which regards my divine will is light that descends from heaven. So how do you speak light? How do you speak this light that Jesus wants us to know? And each priest, each person has their uniqueness that God has given them, their love for God that no one else has. And as they dive into this love of Jesus, love of the Holy Trinity, love of the Blessed Mother, love of the Holy Church, as you dive into this, you can pull from your studies the depth of what God wants us to begin to live. Sacred Scripture just becomes alive in a way that you have never seen, even with the teachings of the saints, because Jesus is teaching this. The Sacred Scripture comes alive because Mary is teaching this. So the new Adam and the new Eve are leading, guiding, and directing us to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. And Jesus says, that which regards my divine will is light that descends from heaven, which does not confuse and dazzle the sight of the intelligence, but has the virtue of strengthening and enlightening the human intellect so as to be comprehended and loved. Okay, this is so many things that the saints have said, so many of the things that the saints have taught are at our disposal. We've studied this. We've learned this. This has been our life, focusing on the teachings throughout all, you know, throughout the 2000 years and even before, you know, in the Old Testament, what the saints have said there. But what God is going to do is he's going to add to everything that we've been taught this divine light that will help people let go of worry and fear and anxiety and complaints and negativity and even sin. Now, nobody lives this fully yet, because that day that Jesus promises has not come to earth yet. It's close. It's really close. And so God is saying to us, are you ready? Are you ready for what I'm going to do? And when we say yes, he goes, good, read this, study this. I'll prepare you so that you can prepare the people. You could get the people ready for what's coming. So what does Jesus do? He teaches Luisa to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to spend time adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him, worshiping him. He's teaching Luisa how to do this so that you're not just thinking from a saintly perspective of doing the will of God, but now because of Luisa, it's how to live in the will of God, the way Jesus lived in the will of God, the new Adam, and Mary lived in the new, in the divine will, in the new era, this new divine way of holiness that they taught Luisa. It's a new beginning that's coming for all of humanity. And little by little, so, you know, you're not going to know everything at first. You're going to get, it's like walking into a room filled with incense. You're going to, I can smell something. I think I know what this is, you know, or into a room that's has no darkness, into a room that is filled. Your senses will be alive to begin to embrace these natural teachings that Jesus has given to Luisa, which was the life that Adam had before the fall. And everything begins to make sense little by little. It's this awe of God that happens as you read. As you read, as you study, you're continually going, this is what you mean by this. Oh, that's what St. Teresa said. Oh, that's what St. Francis said. And it expands our capacity to embrace a new and divine way of holiness. So what Jesus is saying here is essential. The divine will is light that's from heaven. It strengthens and enlightens the human intellect so as to comprehend and love, casting into the depth of the soul, your origin, where we come from, the womb of God, the true purpose for which man was created, in order to in the order between creator and creature. So this kissing of heaven and earth is going to happen. This is what sacred scripture tells us. The unity of heaven and earth has been torn because of Adam doing his human will. So Jesus comes to earth and he's torn in half, basically. Our Lady's heart is torn in half to take the place of fallen Adam, to repair and redo. Jesus redeemed us. Our Lady was with Jesus on Calvary. And the new Adam and the new Eve are the ones who are preparing the world to receive this abundant life, which was to go back to where Adam was before the fall. This is where we are. And so Jesus says, to go back to the true purpose for which Adam was created, in order to bring this divine order between God and man. And each one of my sayings, now this is the 36 volumes, each one of the truths, each one of the manifestations, each one of the prophecies, each one of the promises, are as many strokes of the brush to make the soul return to the likeness of their God, her creator. So what is this likeness? I like going back to Adam's DNA. What was the DNA? What was the DNA of Adam like? When God breathed that Ruach of God, the breath of God into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. What did the animals see? What did all of nature see in paradise? What did they look at? They looked at the image and likeness of God. He was the king of the universe. He was the king of the world. He was everything, the image and likeness of God. Everything obeyed him. All of nature was one with him because he was one with God. And when Adam sinned, it was broken. So what does God do? He says, Adam, you can't stay here. This is paradise where everything is in union with God, one with God. You have chosen the evil one. You have chosen to be with him. And what does Jesus say? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens to the earth. This is where we've been for 6,000 years, basically. And what Jesus is saying is he now wants to, he has redeemed us. The Son of God, the Mother of God came to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve so that the newborn, we can become newborn, born again in this abundant life. And what Jesus wants from us is to surrender, to be docile, to surrender, to say yes, fiat to God. Why? Because with this gift that God is now giving to the earth, we can go back to where Adam was before the fall. So what does Our Lady tell us? Our Lady says to Bruno in 1947, she says, time has now come to an end. The end of the era. It's a new era that's coming. The 100 years was given to the devil. It's over. Now the 1,000-year reign is coming. And I'm not talking about millennialism. I'm saying it wrong. That word. We're not talking millenarianism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Jesus said to Saint Faustina. The final devotion that I give to the church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. He's saying, I want you to receive what I gave to Louisa. I want you to become clear with what I gave to Louisa. I want you to think from a divine perspective. I want your memory to be of Jesus and Mary. I want your human will to be surrendered so that divine will can again reign in humanity. So he's looking at us and he's saying, he says, these sayings, these manifestations, these knowledges, these truths, these promises, he says, are like me painting again, restoring humanity. He says to Louisa, I'm going to make each one of my children my divine masterpiece. To make God eternally blissful, looking at this masterpiece, just looking at us, image and likeness. He's going to be seeing in us himself. That's why volume 1 through volume 10 is to become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's why volume 11 through volume 19 is to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why volume 20 through volume 36 is to return again to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. A new beginning is coming. And it's very close. So everything, I mean, if you buy a house that's falling apart, you tear it down. You tear it down and you bring about your palace that you want to build. I have a friend of mine and that's what he says all the time. Why don't you come over to my palace? He's a riot. So anyways, the same thing here. What Jesus wants is he wants us to recognize that how we've been living for 2,000 years when after the redemption seems like sin is more abound. Here, Jesus took upon himself all of our sinfulness, all our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, all our complaints, all our negativity, all our sin, to free us from that. And we still are stuck with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, you gotta wake up. This awakening that people are talking about is really here. And it's here because of the divine will. And as we read this, as we study this, he says, I want you to think with clarity. I want you to be redone by me, repaired by me. He says, and this is why he says, these truths that I've taught are many strokes of the brush, which will make the soul return to the likeness of God. That's what's happening as you read. Every day when you read, Jesus is repairing, redoing. And he says, basically, it's very clear. It's what the church teaches. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Renew the face. So Jesus says it's going to look, once this is completed, and it's going to be completed soon, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. That's what God's got planned. That's what sanctification is. So he's saying to everybody, what do you want? And everybody's telling God, I want this, I want that, I want this. God says, fine. Do you want to know what I want? And we go, when we say yes, he gives us the book of heaven. And he says, read this. I'll show you what I want. And then he says, as soon as you ask for the grace, it's there. I know a lot of people pray for, please, 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 and for all their life. Please, please, please. As soon as you pray, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. You receive the grace to do it. If you can't wash the dishes, I can't wash the dishes. Pray for the grace, go to the sink and wash the dishes. You have it right then. It's to act on it immediately. See, it's the Lord is going to bring about, like he said, the healings that are coming are unheard of. The healings that are coming, the prodigies that are going to take place because of the divine will are going to astonish the world. The miracles that are going to come through Louisa. You know, with John Paul II, I think he had one miracle to be beatified and one miracle to be canonized. The miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. And they're not going to be a little miracle. It's going to be overflowing with miracles. Why? Because Jesus is going to prove to us who she is, why he chose her, what he has given to her. And that's the beauty of this gift. We don't go to Louisa for Louisa. We go to Louisa because she has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. She's the newborn. And when you embrace this newborn, great things, magnificent things happen in ways that it's going to astonish the world. Really, pray to Louisa and watch what happens. Amazing things happen. But if you limit God by saying, well, that's not going to happen for me, God says it can't happen for you. When you look at sacred scripture, the miracles happened because Jesus said, it's your faith that has healed you. He says, it's your faith. When the woman touched his alb, he touched the tassel, which is the tillet, the prayer shawl, the strings that hang down, the four corners. In Leviticus, it said the Messiah will heal by his hem. Okay. So when she said, all I have to do is touch his hem, and touched his hem, Jesus said, who did this? He knew who did it, but he had to hear from her. Why did you do this? Do you believe that I'm the Messiah? And when she says yes, he goes, it's your faith that has done this. Your faith in Jesus, your trust in Jesus, your hope in Jesus, your confidence in Jesus. We as Catholics receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity every day. And our job is to fall more and more in love with God each day, to turn to him more and more with total confidence, total trust. That's what's going to happen as we read. Jesus is going to bring us back to the faith that Adam had in the beginning, the trust that Adam had in the beginning. He says this, everything that I, Jesus, have said about my divine will is nothing other than preparing the way, forming the army, gathering the chosen people, preparing the royal palace, disposing the ground on which the kingdom of my most holy divine will be formed. So to rule and dominate. God is saying this. What I'm saying to you, Louisa, what the priests are going to read, Louisa, is my will is to prepare the way of how this is going to happen and why this is going to happen. I'm going to form my army, and the priests are going to be the officers. The gathering of the chosen people, that's the little children, the holy divine will. The preparing of the royal palace. The kingdom of God is going to be established on earth, and he's preparing it now as it is in heaven. Disposing the ground on which the kingdom of my divine will must be formed. I mean, if you've ever been to a place that's building, somebody's building, they dig up the property, they lay the foundation. That's what Jesus says. It's happening. These are the words that Jesus has spoken to Louisa that he is going to do. He is going to accomplish this. You notice he doesn't say, we're doing it. He says very clearly, everything I've said is preparing the way. Everything I have spoken as the word of God, everything that I've spoken to you, Louisa, is preparing the way, forming the army, gathering the chosen, preparing the royal palace, disposing the ground for my kingdom, which will be formed, so I will rule and dominate as king. His kingdom's here, basically, with Louisa. And he's saying he's already plowing the ground. He's already getting ready to pour the cement. He's already brought in the lumber. He's already brought in the I-beams. He's ready. He's ready to do. Jesus is doing that. And remember, St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, greatest saints, history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what this book of heaven is all about. God is doing this. And all he's saying to you, are you ready? It's coming. It's a divine decree, he says to Louisa. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, sanctification is a divine decree. And he says, to prove this, I've given the world the book of heaven. So as you read, as you study, so he says, therefore, this is so important. The task I am, He uses God's name. The task God is entrusting to you, Father, is great. God is going to do this. But he says, you're the officers in the army. You've got to learn to begin to discipline yourself to lead the charge. Okay. So what is this war that we're in? Because we are in a war. Jesus says it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love, and humanity will conquer by this kingdom of love. That's why he keeps on saying to Louisa, dive into this infinite ocean of divine will and stay there. Enter into this ocean of love and participate in this. He says, basically, the drop of water into the chalice every day with the priest. The priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That's the divine will. As St. Peter says, we are called to be divinized, not to become gods, but to become God's masterpiece. He's going to divinize us. That's why we were created, so that we can share in his image and likeness. And now Jesus says, I'm going to show you how I, the Lord God Almighty, am going to recreate you, renew you, repair you, so that the kingdom can be established in you on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is within us, Jesus says. So the Lord has got great plans, and all that he asks of us to do is to say, yes, okay, let it be done as you say. Our Lady, when the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God, she goes, I've vowed a life of virginity. I don't know man. I'm not going to know man. Tell me how I can do this to please God. And the angel said, we through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi. Let it be done as you say. God did 100% of the work after her. Yes. It's the same thing now. In the divine will, God's going to do 100% of the work, but we got to get out of the way with our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. We've got to say, Lord, do with me as you wish. Let it be done as you wish. I want what you want. And that's why he loved Louisa. Louisa, all her whole life was, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that's what he's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us to get out of the way so that he can be the Lord of our life. Okay, so when we say, oh, I want you to be the Lord of my life, he goes, okay, what about this situation? What are you going to do here? Okay, what about that situation? What are you going to do? He's constantly testing us to see if we're true to our word. Do we really trust in him? Do we really believe in him? Do we really have confidence in him? And as you read, he's going to put everything together for you, little by little. It's not all at once, little by little. And you can do this 30%, 60%, or 100%. Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. If you allow me to work as God, Jesus says, watch what I will do. You will be astonished. But if you want to work, good luck. That's what Jesus says. You're not going to be able to do anything. So this time that God is giving us is to truly believe in him, truly have confidence in him. When we're panicking, when we're upset, when we're tearful, when we're miserable, when we're afraid, God goes, he says to the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he goes, of course it doesn't. And he says, stop worrying. That's a command from Jesus. See, as you worry, you feed the demon worry that you're keeping alive in you. With more worry, with more worry, with more worry. And what happens? You're never going to get rid of worry until you starve it out. Nope, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to be negative. Jesus, I trust in you. What about this situation, Jesus says? Jesus, I trust in you. What about this situation? He's got to see whether or not you can enter into this gift. It's total trust in him, total belief in him, total confidence in him. He's our Lord. He's our master. He's our King. He's our Savior. And he's our God. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord every day. Fall in love with Jesus. Look at him in the monstrance. We see God in the monstrance. And this is what he says. Therefore, the task I am entrusting to you is great. I, God, shall guide you. I, God, shall be near you so that everything may be done according to my most holy divine will. God's going to do it. All that we have to do is, like Our Lady, say, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. And then watch what he's going to do. So he'll put us in a situation where years ago, we wouldn't be able to handle it. But he puts us in the same situation today after we're reading, after we're studying, after we're putting these truths, these manifestations, these promises, these knowledges that Jesus has given to Louisa. And it's easy. It's like, why was I ever concerned about this before? It's to be docile. It's to be surrendered. It's to be submissive. To live in the divine will is not like the saints. The saints did the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will, Jesus says, I'm giving to you, Louisa, what I've given to no one until this time. To live in the divine will is what you read from volume. That's why if you're beginning to read the divine will, start from volume 11 and just read 11, 12, 13, 14. Read those. Okay. And then read volume 1. Volume 1 is a tough one because you're going to see how God treated Louisa, this little newborn. And basically he said, Lord, Louisa, I've got to reform you. You're the clay, which I have to crush down and start over again. What Louisa went through, we won't have to go through. He doesn't do that to us because we're too weak. We're cowards when it comes to suffering. She, when you read Louisa, she loved suffering. Why? This is suffering. This is suffering. She wanted to be with Jesus and Mary continuously. And she says, basically what the Father says is, the Father says, who wants to be like my son? Who wants to draw closer to my son? And what the Father does is he gives to those people suffering. Why? Because we love suffering? No. We say to Jesus, come down from the cross just for a moment. Let me take your place just for a moment so that you can get some relief. We can't take it. Jesus crucified Louisa every day. Every day he crucified Louisa. Why? She was becoming more and more like him, more and more like the Blessed Mother. Suffering is redemptive. And we're going to see some suffering, let me clue you, but it's going to be good. Why? Because Jesus says, I, God, shall guide you. I, God, shall be near you so that everything may be done according to my will. So what does he say? He says this. He says, by being near you, I will touch your mind so that you'll understand these writings, and I will touch your heart so that you will love these writings. This is a promise from Jesus. And I can guarantee you it happens for those who want it. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.